as opposed to country or culture-specific gestures. Freeze, flight, and fight responses drive these types of universal behaviors. Since the field of kinesics was first studied, researchers have disputed the science behind body language because they cannot assign one and only one universal meaning to a specific gesture. For example, the simple behavior of crossing one's arms across the chest could mean several different things depending upon the context. A. The person is cold and seeks to warm himself by crossing his arms. B. The person is creating a barrier between him and someone else in an attempt to close himself off. C. The person is comfortable and has crossed his arms because there is nothing else available to support or do with his arms. D. The person is uncomfortable and is subconsciously attempting to protect himself. To overcome this inherent ambiguity, combat profiling relies on brain science to determine the cause of these gestures. The body's reactions to our freeze, flight, and fight response provide us with a scientific cause for the gestures we are observing. Furthermore, combat profiling relies on identifying clusters of mutually reinforcing cues to determine a person's intentions. These are groups of behaviors and gestures that point to the same meaning. Combat profiling strives to observe clusters of multiple cues that lead to the same conclusion about what a person may be feeling or what his or her intentions are. The more indicators leading to the same conclusion, the more accurate combat profilers will be in predicting a person's emotions and actions. To confirm a cluster, one needs to observe at least three indicators. Clusters are based on a person's perception of threats and how they are preparing to deal with them. They are 1. Dominant versus submissive. 2. Uncomfortable versus comfortable. 3. Interested versus uninterested in the person or object they are interacting with. Looking back at how Dean initially described the Millennium Bomber's behavior provides one example for why we rely on these six classifications to describe the people around us. What she accurately described as hinky could also have been classified as anxious, nervous, suspicious, furtive, or any other synonym that a person could use to explain that type of behavior. We call that type of behavior uncomfortable, to simplify how combat profilers communicate what they are observing. By ensuring that everyone is using the same terminology and language to describe and communicate their observations, we can also ensure quick, concise, and accurate discussions and decisions between everyone involved. Once three indicators are observed, combat profilers then judge the cluster against the baseline. Should the person be feeling dominant, submissive, uncomfortable, comfortable, and interested, uninterested right now? If the person's behavior fits the baseline, then they do not require further investigation. However, if the person's emotions and behavior do not fit the situation, that person has now become an anomaly, and a decision must be made for dealing with that person. In the case of the Millennium Bomber, a certain degree of discomfort could be expected. Similar to passing through a TSA checkpoint at the airport, people may naturally exhibit a moderate amount of uncomfortable behavior, solely because of the nature of the search. Rassam's intense uncomfortable cues compared to other people Dean had searched, the baseline, alerted her to the anomaly. There are, of course, an infinite number of ways to classify behavior. The clusters and categories used in combat profiling are quick, effective ways to assess people's behavior and identify potential threats. The dominant cluster. The first cluster that should raise a combat profiler's awareness is the dominant cluster. Dominant behavior is an expression of the limbic system's fight response. Even in situations in which physical aggression is inappropriate, people often use dominant behaviors to intimidate, bully, and assert control over others. The rule used to classify a person as exhibiting dominance is that they are using their body to take up a greater amount of space or in a territorial display. Generally speaking, authoritative people seek to establish ownership over people and objects in their immediate vicinity, and this begins with taking ownership of the space around them. Dominant behavior includes gestures and postures that make a person look larger to intimidate smaller people into submission. Examples of these gestures and postures include lower body. 1. Seated. Feet planted on floor and legs splayed out, taking up space. 2. Seated. Legs crossed and with their hands holding their ankle or lower calf, demonstrating confidence in one's view. 3. Standing. Legs shoulder-width apart, taking up more space. Torso. 1. Seated. Leaning back with hands clasped behind head, taking up more space. 2. Standing. With hands on their hips in an authoritative way. With their arms akimbo, they are taking up more space. 3. Standing and leaning forward in an aggressive manner, attempting to look bigger or intimidate others. 4. Standing. Stretching torso and making oneself look taller by standing upright and erect. 5. This can be complemented by observing the chin up and thrusting the chest out. Hands and arms. 1. Arms spread out on an object, table, counter, etc., taking up more space, which is often considered a territorial display. 2. Hands clasped behind back, as if judging or evaluating. 3. Wrist and palm facing down when shaking hands or greeting. 4. Pointing with hands while talking or lecturing. 5. Steeple gesture with hands, perceived as intellectual and confident. Other indicators. 1. Maintaining one's gaze for a longer period of time, or not averting one's own gaze. 2. Dominant people can breach others' intimate proxemic zone, discussed in a later chapter, showing they feel they can go wherever they want. 3. Touching other people, which demonstrates control over another person. The submissive cluster. The submissive cluster is the opposite of the dominant cluster and is characterized by the absence of the fight response. This isn't to say that the person doesn't perceive a threat, only that the person has determined the best chance of survival against an aggressor is submission, literally not putting up a fight or defending themselves. Submissive behavior is identified by the types of behavior that cause a person to take up less space. This is also a posture that can be used to show receptiveness, warmth, and respect. Indicators for submissive body language could include body language from the following list. Lower body. 1. Seated. Feet and legs crossed at the ankle and tucked underneath the chair, making a person look smaller. 2. Seated. Feet wrapped around legs of chair, seeking stability and security. 3. Legs will often not be used as barrier as it could offend the dominant person or be seen as an aggressive response. Upper body. 1. Leaning forward apologetically and making the body smaller and less threatening, instead of the aggressive posturing forward lean of the dominant cluster. 2. Arms pulled into the body. Non-threatening, no ability to strike back. 3. Wrists and palms exposed in greeting, vulnerable. 4. Shoulders lowered and not protecting the neck. Other indicators? 1. Averting eyes or failing to make eye contact with another person. Oftentimes, people display submissive behavior when they are feeling non-confrontational. Think about times in your life when you saw a person walking aggressively down the street and you stepped aside to let them by. As you are beginning to see, the behaviors that make up the clusters are ones that you have observed in other people or experienced yourself. Assigning names to the primary ways a person responds to stress is the first step in recognizing another person's emotional state. It isn't always a bad thing. Keep it in context. The importance of putting observations into the context of their surroundings can't be overstated. Because Marines must quickly and accurately read those around them and determine if they are a threat or not, the clusters of dominance and submission are best described from the perspective of whether a person will put up a fight if confronted. The same dominance and submission cues can be also observed in other non-hostile settings in which a subordinate person is showing a true level of respect and deference to a person of a higher status. In a case like this, the behavior for respect may be categorized as submissive, but the relationship isn't adversarial. Similarly, leaders accustomed to being in charge and having influence may naturally assume dominant postures when around others. Because dominance and submissiveness may have differing meanings in different situations, it is critical that combat profilers consider the context of the behavior. The uncomfortable cluster. When a person feels threatened, scared, nervous, or begins to experience some other negative emotion, that person will display discomfort. This is part of the second category of clusters that combat profilers attempt to identify. Just as dominant behavior resulted from the limbic system's fight response, uncomfortable behavior comes from a person's flight response. People who perceive a threat will either want to remove themselves from the situation or do something to protect themselves. Distancing behaviors, using barriers, and pacifying behaviors are clear indicators that someone is uncomfortable. However, any combination of three indicators from the following list should immediately identify someone as uncomfortable. Lower body. 1. Feet bouncing. Limbic system preparing the body for flight. 2. Feet oriented toward a door or exit. Showing what one's intentions are. Preparing for flight. 3. Legs crossed while seated. Forming a barrier. Protecting vital areas. 4. Legs shoulder-width apart while standing. Body capable of defending itself. Upper body. 1. Torso leaning away, distancing from a threat. 2. Torso rotated away from person or object, either facing exit to prepare for flight or turning to protect vitals. 3. Arms crossed across chest, establishing barriers to protect vital areas. 4. Arms, hands covering crotch, groin, establishing barriers to protect vital areas. 5. Shoulders raised, response to a threat to protect neck, carotid artery, and head. 6. Increase use of pacifying behavior, resulting from the energy manifested by the autonomic nervous system. Other indicators. 1. Eyes glancing around the room, looking for an escape. Pacifying behaviors. The use of pacifying behaviors is an immediate sign someone is uncomfortable. A pacifying behavior is any act or gesture used to calm or comfort oneself when experiencing the body's autonomic responses to stress. Different books and researchers may classify them using different terms, such as adapters or self-manipulators, but they all refer to the same category of gestures. People display pacifying behaviors in different ways. Some people will clench their fists. Some will rub their hands on their thighs. Others will rub the bridge of their nose. And others will use a long, drawn-out exhalation to calm and compose themselves. The cause of this type of behavior is initially triggered by the limbic system, because the energy the autonomic nervous system is generating cannot always be used in overtly aggressive or protective ways, such as punching or fleeing. When someone experiences an increased heart rate or respiration rate, or any other limbic system response to a threat or stress, that person's body will respond to decrease heart rate and respiration. Pacifying behaviors allow the body to return to balance and release this built-up energy in discrete, comforting ways. This buildup of nervous energy is what drives pacifying behaviors. The comfortable cluster. The comfortable cluster is the opposite of the uncomfortable cluster and is classified as the absence of the fight-or-flight response. No stimulus, whether a person or object, has caused the person to feel threatened. When a person feels safe, that person will display behaviors that indicate varying levels of comfort, vulnerability, and ease. A person who does not perceive any threat to his survival will display some of the behaviors listed below. Again, always look for clusters of three. Lower body. 1. Feet motionless and relaxed. No limbic system response causing them to distance themselves from the threat. 2. Legs uncrossed or legs crossed with the inside of the thigh exposed to another person. No limbic system response to protect vital areas and the femoral artery on the inside of the thigh. 3. Standing with legs crossed. No threat perceived. Body vulnerable while standing with all the weight on one foot. Body not prepared to fight, flight. Upper body. 1. Torso upright or leaning in. No threat perceived. Not concerned about distancing. 2. Torso leaning away or splayed out, in a reclined or lounging type manner. Body unprepared to defend itself. 3. Arms open, at the sides of the body, gesturing openly or behind back. No immediate threat recognized, and no need to use hands, arms to protect the body. 4. Shoulders lowered, no turtle effect. No threat recognized, no need to protect vital areas of neck. 5. No pacifying behaviors. Other indicators. 1. General relaxed postures. Mutually exclusive. The first four clusters that we discussed relate solely to the person's limbic system response to the world. Because a person cannot experience both a fight and flight response simultaneously, a person can only display one cluster at a time. This isn't to say that a person cannot escalate from uncomfortable behavior to dominant behavior very quickly, but the initial classification will be one or the other. The next category of clusters, interested versus uninterested, complements the previous sets of clusters. An individual may be dominant and interested, or dominant and uninterested. Determining a person's interest will provide a great deal more information about the person's emotional state and future intentions. The interested cluster. The third category of behavior clusters relates to a person's interest. The guiding principle for identifying a person's interest is assessing where the person's attention is focused, whether on the subject with whom they are interacting or elsewhere. Being able to determine who is interested or uninterested can provide a significant advantage when determining whom to contact and engage in conversation. Indicators that show if a person is interested can include lower body, 1. Feet pointing at people in conversation, both feet, 2. Feet remaining still, not bouncing, no limbic system preparation to leave, 3. No leg barriers, openness. Upper body. 1. Torso leaning forward, seated or standing. 2. Open body language. No arm barriers. Other indicators. 1. Head nods. 2. Gaze will be oriented in the direction of the person speaking. 3. Mirroring or mimicking of any emotion communicated through the conversation by the other people in the group. The uninterested cluster. The uninterested cluster will mainly be displayed through behaviors that demonstrate the person wants to leave the situation. These will include the following. Lower body. 1. Feet bouncing. Body preparing to distance itself from the person or object. 2. Feet oriented away from the person or object in the direction they would like to move. 3. Legs crossed. Use of leg barriers. 4. Shifty behavior. Person moving or rocking back and forth. Upper body. 1. Arm barriers up, closing off front of torso. 2. Torso leaning away from person or object. 3. May see stopping gestures with hands. 4. Increase use of pacifying behavior. If a person displays any behavioral indicators of disinterest, that person's interest in a situation, conversation, or event is either waning or lost. Emblems. Everything discussed to this point has been universal behavior, and it is driven subconsciously by the limbic system. There are also culturally specific kinesic cues that should be considered while preparing to deploy to a foreign country. One specific set of important and culturally specific behaviors is called emblems. Emblems are hand gestures that can replace words. Gestures used to communicate messages such as stop or come here are emblems. Other emblems include the thumbs up, the A-OK sign, or the middle finger. Emblems can include facial actions and expressions, such as nodding to show agreement and approval, or shaking the head to display disagreement and disapproval. Many emblems are displayed subconsciously and are a very reliable indicator of the person's emotional state, particularly in settings in which a person must conceal his or her emotions. The topic of emblems is worth mentioning since they are significant and specific to each culture. However, because emblems are so culturally specific, it would be impossible to list them all. Immediately upon entering a new country, Marines and security personnel should quickly determine what the local emblems are. The psychologist Paul Ekman studied several cultures and identified emblematic gestures that indicate greeting and departing, replying, direction, locomotion, insulting or evaluating another's actions or appearance, referring to a person's physical state, or announcing a person's current condition or state. With limitations in interpreter-translator support in foreign countries, understanding these culturally specific emblems can ensure all Marines on patrol know how to give basic commands that the local population understands, and make rudimentary assessments about conversations and relationships when they cannot understand the words. Kinesic baselines and anomalies. As we've discussed earlier, it is important to constantly establish a baseline for the area we occupy. This can be done at the macro level using all the domains, but can also be done for each individual domain. We want to establish a baseline for a person's body language so we have a starting point for follow-up observations and can identify changes that occur. A kinesic baseline is simply the cluster you use to characterize a person as dominant, submissive, uncomfortable, or comfortable. When the situation and time allows, a combat profiler can add into that initial classification with the interested versus uninterested cluster to provide a more detailed picture. The reason we use a cluster as the baseline is because this can be established before you approach someone. Often a visible sign of authority will cause a change in people's behavior. Picture a situation in which a police officer is approaching a group of teenagers in the mall. Before the police officer approaches, an observer would probably note much dominant behavior in the teens when they think they haven't done anything wrong and are comfortable with their friends. However, when they see the police officer approach, you would likely see a shift in the group, as some would become uncomfortable with the police officer, some might become submissive, and some may attempt to become more dominant at the presence of authority. Without establishing that initial baseline before he approached, the officer wouldn't be able to notice those changes. While a group of teenagers might not pose a significant threat, those changes become immediately more important for Marines on patrol overseas or a police officer on patrol in a gang-controlled neighborhood. Those changes could be the first indicator that the gang member has decided he doesn't want to return to jail and would rather take his chances by fighting or shooting his way out of the situation. Being proactive might only be a few seconds left of bang, but those few seconds and those initial changes in behavior can be the difference between success and failure on the battlefield. Kinesic anomalies. Up to this point, we have provided a means of establishing a baseline, but the goal is for combat profilers to quickly observe anomalies in order to proactively identify threats. As we discussed, an anomaly is anything that rises above or falls below our baseline. Regarding kinesics, an anomaly can be any behavior that does not fit the situation. Someone uncomfortable in a casual setting, a person who is overly interested, or behavior that seems overly dominant or too submissive. Besides these types of anomalies, there are several specific anomalies combat profilers should look for: threat behaviors, kinesic slips, smuggling behavior, and acting natural. Specific anomalies that require action. Identifying threat behavior is discussed last because it seems to go against most of what we have talked about up to this point, especially the rule of three for establishing a cluster. However, as we have discussed above, combat profilers don't always need to observe three indicators before making a decision. In some cases, only one indicator is needed to take action. Military personnel and law enforcement officers have the legal responsibility and the authority to take action whenever a person poses an immediate threat to them or others. It is the driving concept that created rules of engagement. We exist to protect. There are certain behaviors in the category of threat behavior that do not require a cluster to be built. Whenever they are identified, they require immediate attention. Police officers are trained early on to identify many of these behaviors and have consistently mentioned them when discussing threats. The first area of the body Marines should observe on a person is the hands. Checking the hands of a person ensures that the person is not holding a weapon and is not preparing to strike. Marines should ensure that any person they come into contact with exposes his or her hands. This will help to ensure the person is not an immediate threat. Making the decision to contact a person often involves getting physically close and creates a significant amount of risk. Limited time reaction, increased number of options for the attacker to do harm, and less skill required by an attacker to do harm. Additionally, hands can oftentimes betray where a person's attention is. If a person has something concealed they don't want discovered, such as a gun, a knife, drugs, stolen items, etc., that person will often touch or pat that area on the body where the object is concealed, as if to ensure the object has not been lost and it is still hidden from view. Repeated patting can indicate that the person has a weapon or something else worth identifying concealed on his or her body. Another indicator to look for is people who are checking their six. This is when a person looks over the shoulder to see who is around or behind them. Only people who are aware of their surroundings conduct this behavior, and since most people do not bother to search for threats or bother to be aware of their surroundings, this is an indicator that demands further observation. As discussed earlier, people are categorized into one of three categories: good guys, bad guys, and the rest of the population. Good guys, Marines, soldiers, police officers, etc., are trained to be aware of their surroundings and will conduct this act of checking their six to see if anyone is approaching them, to look at the people around them, and to maintain a general level of awareness. Bad guys, criminals, insurgents, terrorists, etc., will conduct the same type of behavior to assess their area for easy targets and to ensure there are no good guys around them who could catch them in the act. Any person checking his or her six is immediately an anomaly and deserves further observation. A decision is definitely required in these situations, even if just further observation to identify the person's intentions. Kinesic slips. A kinesic slip occurs when a person's nonverbal behavior betrays the person's words. Nonverbal communication should complement and supplement verbal communication, either adding emphasis or illustrating a point, but can also contradict the words used. So when the nonverbal communication contradicts the words used to communicate the same point, combat profilers should be alerted that something might be awry. For instance, if a person is recalling a situation and says that he was driving down a road and turned left at the intersection while his hands pointed to the right, more credence should be given to the gesture. This is because the gesture occurred without any thought or control. However, the story may have been consciously altered to fit a particular purpose, that is, a lie. If a person is being questioned about whether bad guys are in the area, for example, insurgents, criminals, and says no, but nods yes, then weight should be given to the gesture, not the words. The person is subconsciously and nonverbally telling the truth, i.e., bad guys are in the area, but they are verbally lying or concealing information. Smuggling behavior. Picture a person attempting to smuggle drugs through an airport, or a person attempting to smuggle a weapon onto a plane. What behaviors would this person display? First, situations like this pose significant risks for the person attempting to smuggle something past security. Particularly in places such as airports, there is a high possibility that the smuggler will be caught. Anytime there is a high chance that a person will be caught doing something, that person will experience some kind of distress. Furthermore, the person's body language will provide indicators of distress and discomfort. Uncomfortable behaviors might be displayed. Additionally, the person's body will display visible physiological effects of the stress. Second, smugglers have a high degree of concern for whatever it is they are smuggling. Unless they have been trained extensively to pay no attention to the object they are smuggling and are absolutely confident that they still have it in their possession, smugglers will devote some effort and attention toward the object. An individual smuggling a weapon or drugs on his body will occasionally, and sometimes often, reach for the object and touch it to ensure its safety. Normal individuals do this with things such as car keys, wallets, and cell phones. When people get up and move, they often pat their pocket to ensure they still have their wallet, watch, and cell phone. These are important to them, and they don't want to lose them. Smugglers do the same thing. Why do we discuss smugglers here? The behavior that smugglers exhibit is the same type of behavior that suicide bombers or someone carrying a weapon into a place they are not supposed to will exhibit. Acting natural. One of the principles of human nature that combat profiling is based upon is that people only look natural when they are naturally doing something. Briefly, this means that when we are truly focused on some activity, our actions will be smooth and fluid, and we will appear like we are concentrating on the activity in which we are engaged. However, if we are only going through the motions of the activity, but are instead mentally doing something else, for example, thinking or worrying about something else, trying to observe others, etc., then our body language will give us away. We will appear unfocused, will move slower or faster than we should, will over-exaggerate or under-exaggerate our motions, and will not move fluidly or smoothly. Consider the behavior of a construction worker laying bricks at a construction site across from the White House. Now, if this construction worker is truly concentrating on his job, all of his mental and physical energy will be focused on the task at hand, mixing mortar, moving bricks, digging, etc. He will most likely not be concerned with what is going on around him, and will be moving at a speed appropriate to his activity. Now imagine this same construction worker attempting to look like he is laying bricks, but is instead conducting surveillance on the White House. Since no one can really multitask, i.e. truly do two things at once, this individual will have to decide his attention. He will have to shift back and forth between the job he is acting like he is doing and his primary task of collecting information. He will move slower than he should overall, or he may try to act quicker than normal during the times he is working to make up for the time lost while observing. He will certainly appear unfocused. In fact, he may become so concerned with the task of observing the White House that he may completely lose all situational awareness and forget he is supposed to be laying bricks. Why do we bring up this example? Farmers in Afghanistan who are actually collecting information on U.S. patrols, or criminals conducting observation on potential targets while acting like they are doing something else, will exhibit the same type of behavior as our construction worker above. Kinesics summary. Before a person takes any action or makes any gesture, the decision is first made in his brain, either consciously or subconsciously. When that decision is made, people will begin to prepare their bodies for that act and will begin to telegraph their intentions and let others know what they are about to do. Time spent developing the ability to read and understand body language both quickly and accurately will provide much insight into other people's intentions and emotions. Kinesics takeaways. 1. One gesture is insufficient to make an observation. Always form a cluster of three indicators leading to the same conclusion. 2. Clusters should be formed using indicators from below the shoulders to prevent misinterpreting facial expressions. 3. Search for body language that is the result of the limbic system's freeze, flight, or fight response to stress and the perception of threats. 4. Dominant cluster. The fight response is defined by the behavior people show when attempting to make themselves appear larger. 5. Submissive cluster. The absence of the fight response is defined by the behavior people show when attempting to make themselves appear smaller. 6. Uncomfortable cluster. The flight response is defined by the behavior people show when they are displaying distancing or blocking behavior to protect themselves. 7. Comfortable cluster. No threat perceived. This is defined by behavior that shows openness. 8. Interested versus uninterested cluster, where a person's attention is focused. 9. Threat indicators include smuggling behavior, patting an area on the body, situational awareness, checking their six, and attempting to act natural. 4. Biometrics. There are, of course, many surface manifestations of excitement. The contraction of blood vessels with resulting pallor, the pouring out of cold sweat, the stopping of saliva flow so that the tongue cleaves to the roof of the mouth, the dilation of the pupils, the rising of the hairs, the rapid beating of the heart, the hurried respiration, the trembling and twitching of the muscles, especially those about the lips. All these bodily changes are well-recognized accompaniments of pain and great emotional disturbance, such as fear, horror, and deep disgust. But these disturbances of the even routine of life, which have been commonly noted, are mainly superficial and therefore readily observable. Even the increased rapidity of the heartbeat is noted at the surface in the pulsing of the arteries. When a person experiences some type of stress, a threatening situation, or a strong emotional response, that person's body experiences certain physiological changes, most caused by the response of the autonomic nervous system, ANS, and by the release of certain hormones such as adrenaline. In fact, these autonomic changes provide the foundation for polygraph tests. These uncontrollable, automatic, and observable reactions that people experience are called biometric cues. Because these cues are closely related to the fight-or-flight response, combat profilers can observe and read people's biometric cues as indicators that a person may be a potential threat. Why are biometrics important? In short, biometric cues are caused by emotional changes. People experience emotions when something is happening or is about to happen, even just thinking something will occur, that will affect their well-being. Emotions prepare a person to react quickly to a situation by causing physiological changes that help deal with what caused the emotion. While these emotions can be positive or negative, combat profilers are concerned with negative emotions such as anger, fear, and contempt, and the way that the fight-or-flight response can be observed on the body, as opposed to the facial expressions associated with the emotions. Biometric baselines and anomalies. The body generally tries to maintain equilibrium, which is a normal state of being in functions such as heart rate, respiration rate, body temperature, and blood pressure. When conditions change, the body reacts to them and attempts to adapt to the new conditions. That state of equilibrium and balance will become the baseline when it comes to biometric cues, and the observable changes will become the initial indicators of an anomaly. When establishing baselines with regard to any domain, combat profilers need to understand the context of the situation. This will determine what is normal and what is anomalous. For instance, a person shivering may be an anomaly. Shivering is an indicator that the autonomic nervous system has withdrawn the blood from the extremities and diverted it to the major organs and muscle groups in preparation for a fight-or-flight response. This could also indicate that the individual may be anxious, afraid, or even angry, but could also be a response to the person simply being cold. It is important to identify if the person is shivering because of the environment, rather than some physiological effect of emotions. Therefore, the first question combat profilers must ask when identifying an anomaly is, does this person's behavior fit the situation? Once the baseline has been established, anomalies can more easily be detected. There are three main types of anomalies with regard to biometrics. 1. An individual whose biometric cues do not fit the situation. 2. A change in the observed biometric cues, whether sudden or gradual, though a sudden change communicates a more immediate change in the person's emotions, which would be a more urgent indicator. 3. Indicators that an individual is attempting to mask or hide potential biometric cues, or someone giving off nonverbal indicators of attempting to control them through pacifying behaviors. Emotions and their biometric cues. Anger. As Paul Ekman says, the face of attack, of violence, is anger. Anger may be caused by being or feeling physically or psychologically restrained, insulted, or harmed, taken advantage of, or for many other reasons. From an evolutionary perspective, anger was an important emotion for survival, since it helped to mobilize an individual to fight a threat. Anger is the most common dangerous emotion, since the motive of anger often is to harm the target. When a person experiences anger, that person's body gives off certain honest signals that communicate to others that the person is angry. An angry person may flare their nostrils and become red in the face. Anger is associated with increased heart rate, increased respiratory activity, faster breathing, and facial flushing. Fear. Fear is an emotion that is closely related to anger. Fear is caused by events or situations that signal danger as well as the threat of physical or psychological harm. Evolution has predisposed humans to a few main responses to a threat discussed earlier: freeze, flight, or fight. Fear is associated with the flight and freeze responses, though anger may quickly follow fear, which may lead to a fight response, particularly if it seems as though fleeing or freezing will not work. Fear may also differ depending on the situation, whether the threat is occurring right now or if it will occur in the future. An immediate threat leads to action, flight, freeze, to respond to the threat. An impending threat leads to increased vigilance. Just as with anger, there are visible and non-visible physiological reactions by the body. Fear is associated with increased heart rate, vasoconstriction, paling of the skin, and faster breathing. Pupil dilation, sweating, and increased blood flow are also associated with fear. Anxiety, which is related to fear, may cause pupil constriction and faster or shallower than normal breathing. Contempt. The two emotions discussed above, anger and fear, are directly related to the body's fight or flight mechanism. Contempt, although not directly related to fight or flight, often includes an element of anger and can easily lead to a person becoming angry toward the target of contempt, which then may lead to violence. Disgust, which is closely related to contempt, corresponds to faster breathing and accelerated heart rate, as well as increased salivation. Our body gives off signals that it is experiencing these emotions, and because these emotions are often spontaneous, the signals are often spontaneous. Some physiological aspects that are associated with emotional change include blood pressure, heart rate, respiration, salivary secretion, sweating, muscle tension, tremors, and eye blinking. Furthermore, when someone does realize that they are experiencing these emotions, they may attempt to conceal, repress, or mask them, which may be, at times, an even more obvious indicator that something is going on. It is the job of the combat profiler to pick up on these indicators. The next several sections will introduce specific indicators. Eyes. It has often been said that the eyes are a window into a person's soul. While this may or may not be true, the eyes do tell a lot about a person's emotions. The eyes respond immediately to stress and provide obvious indicators that a person is undergoing some type of stress. There are three main biometric cues that relate to the eyes: pupil dilation, constriction, blinking, and tunnel vision. Pupil dilation and constriction. A person's pupil is normally between 2 millimeters to 5 millimeters in diameter, but can contract to 1.5 millimeters and can dilate up to 9 millimeters. It can also react to stimuli in 0.2 seconds, which means that the pupils can provide an immediate indicator of a person's emotions. The late psychologist and University of Chicago professor Eckhard H. S. conducted numerous studies demonstrating that pupil size can be a reliable indicator of attitude and emotions. When people see things they think are positive or pleasurable, their pupils dilate. But when they see things they think are negative or that cause anxiety, their pupils constrict. Pupil dilation has often been shown to be associated with both anger and fear. Pupils also dilate due to new or interesting stimuli, when a person is focused and paying attention to something, when concentrating, or when experiencing pain. The pupil sometimes constricts in responses to negative stimuli, as also demonstrated by Hess. For a combat profiler, any significant change in a person's pupil size should be taken as an indicator that something has aroused that individual, whether positively or negatively, and that person has experienced some type of emotion. Blinking. Blinking is such a common and routine activity that it is often forgotten. A normal person blinks thousands of times each day and rarely notices it. However, blinking is an incredibly reliable indicator that a person is undergoing stress. For instance, in 1999, former President Clinton was under significant stress during the deposition concerning his relationship with Monica Lewinsky. His body language and speech clearly confirmed this. In addition to more obvious behavioral and verbal signs, Clinton's blinking also indicated that he was extremely uncomfortable and upset. During the deposition, Solomon Weisenberg asked Clinton a series of fairly explicit questions regarding his relationship with Lewinsky. Take any one-minute segment of this conversation, and Clinton's average blink rate is about 60 blinks per minute. Contrast this with his blink rate during a speech he gave in January 1998, in which he initially responds to the allegations regarding Lewinsky. During this speech, Clinton does not appear to be under much stress, and his blink rate is between 12 to 15 blinks per minute. His blink rate while under stress was about 4 times his blink rate while not under stress. A person's normal blink rate is between 6 to 10 times per minute, but blinking increases when a person is under stress, emotionally aroused, or when a person attempts to mask emotions. Blink rate can also be an indicator that someone is extremely focused, since blinking has been shown to decrease when one is under significant cognitive load or highly focused. Attempting to suppress an emotion is physiologically taxing, and a specific indicator of someone attempting to suppress an emotion is increased blinking. Based on this information, combat profilers should consider significant blinking as an indicator that someone is experiencing a high level of stress and may be anxious, scared, or nervous, and very little blinking as an indicator that someone is extremely focused, perhaps mission-focused. Tunnel vision and mission focus. The area of a person's focused vision is relatively small, and peripheral vision is critical to understanding one's surroundings and allowing the brain to make sense of the world. However, when a person's peripheral vision is lost and focused vision is reduced, that person can have significant difficulty doing even the simplest tasks. Tunnel vision is the extreme loss of peripheral vision. It is an autonomic response that happens as the result of severe stress and an excessive heart rate. When a person has tunnel vision, that person will appear to not be paying attention to the surrounding environment, which is true, and will easily run into objects that would have normally been noticed and avoided. Combat profilers will not actually see the loss of peripheral vision occur, but they will see the effects of the loss of peripheral vision. Face your enemy. The face reveals much about a person's emotions, more than most people understand and appreciate. In addition to expressing emotions, the face also gives off certain biometric cues that combat profilers can observe to help identify anomalies. The main indicators on the face are facial flushing, blushing, paling, blanching, and dry mouth. Facial flushing, blushing, and paling. Reddening of the face, that is, facial flushing, is caused by the capillaries in the face dilating and being filled with blood, vasodilations, and can be the result of several situations. For instance, a person's face may redden during or after intense physical activity, such as exercise. However, facial flushing also occurs when an individual is angry and intending to fight. This reddening may also spread to a person's neck. In contrast, paling is associated with fear and anxiety as the body takes blood away from the skin and extremities, vasoconstriction, and diverts it to the important muscle groups. Paling may also occur with forms of anger associated with bracing or protecting oneself against an attack. The key is that any significant color change in a person's face is a clear indicator that the person is experiencing a significant emotional response. Dry mouth. Dry mouth is often associated with increased activity of the autonomic nervous system. It would seem that the autonomic nervous system diverts needed fluids to more important parts of the body and functions, such as sweating. Increased emotional arousal has also been shown to increase swallowing. In fact, increased swallowing is also associated with the repression of emotions, particularly embarrassment. As one researcher writes, "This fairly easily observed behavior, i.e., swallowing, might be a useful cue to observers that someone is experiencing an emotional state, but trying not to show it." Chest and torso. Emotional responses often affect the entire body, not just the face. The torso and limbs may also provide indicators that are important for combat profilers to observe. Two of the major indicators are rapid breathing and shaking. Increased respiration, i.e., faster breathing, and irregular respiration are associated with negative emotions, for example, anger and fear. Another indicator related to the chest and torso is shivering, which results when the autonomic nervous system diverts blood from the periphery, hands, skin, etc., and sends it to the major muscles. Individuals who experience this may feel cold and begin to shiver. This can happen during both fight and flight responses. Because of feeling cold, a person may display particular nonverbal indicators, such as crossing the arms across the chest or rubbing the arms and chest to warm up. Indicators associated with the limbs include shaking, sweaty palms, otherwise excessive movement, fidgeting, and loss of fine motor skills. Trembling may occur after physical activity because of extreme vasoconstriction in the extremities or as a result of the release of adrenaline. In fact, adrenaline increases heart rate and causes the constriction of blood vessels in addition to trembling. When a person's heart rate exceeds 115 beats per minute, BPM, fine motor skills begin to deteriorate. After 145 BPM, complex motor skills begin to be lost. When our autonomic nervous system is aroused, one of the results is an increase in motor activity. And even when one attempts to suppress this energy, it may still appear as small fidgets and other nervous behavior. These fidgets are honest signals of increased autonomic nervous system activity. Masking, hiding, comforting. Although most people do not consciously know how the ANS and limbic system react during times of emotional stress, they still learn how to deal with the effects. Every person displays types of pacifying behaviors, which may be indicators that they are experiencing the types of autonomic biological effects discussed in this chapter. Although they were discussed in detail in the kinesics chapter, we want to briefly touch on them here, since they are indicators that someone is either trying to mask or respond to these biometric cues. For instance, watch a poker tournament, and you will notice that some individuals wear sunglasses during the poker game. They do not wear sunglasses because it is bright inside, but because they understand that their pupils could potentially give away their emotional response to the cards they have in their hand. Taking this a step further, in combat situations, we want to be suspicious of individuals whose clothes do not fit the environment, who wear too many clothes, or whose clothes are too loose. Each of these may be indicators that the person is attempting to mask biometric cues their body gives off when they experience stress. Nonverbally, pacifying behaviors consist of rubbing the neck, breathing deeply and slowly, rubbing the arms and chest, or rubbing the legs when seated. These actions are done to relax hair follicles, slow down respiration, inhibit shaking and shivering, and generally calm oneself down. For example, as a person experiences increased respiration, as the person's body attempts to take in more oxygen, the person may attempt to control his or her breathing by taking long, slow breaths. Using biometrics to the combat profiler's advantage. Biometric cues provide immediate and accurate indicators of the type of emotion that a person is experiencing, as well as indicators of sudden emotional changes. However, identifying biometric cues requires being close enough to one's target of observation to be able to identify small changes such as pupil dilation, reddening or paling of the skin, and sweating. Some indicators can be seen from further away, such as rapid breathing. By looking for these biometric cues, combat profilers can read the emotions of those around them and identify those individuals who are experiencing some type of emotional stress or change in emotion. Someone attempting to smuggle or steal, discreetly escape, harm someone, or do anything in which they may experience some type of strong negative emotion will display one or more of these indicators. Since rarely does only one indicator appear by itself, combat profilers will usually be able to identify other anomalies from either this or another domain to confirm that what the profiler had observed biometrically was an accurate indicator. The next section will build on this knowledge of human nonverbal communication and provide further indicators to identify potential threats. Biometric cues takeaways. 1. Biometric cues are the uncontrollable and automatic responses to stress. 2. Biometric cues contribute to the clusters of individual behavior. 3. Reddening occurs as the result of anger or embarrassment and is seen on the face, neck, or extremities. 4. Paling occurs during fear and is seen by the absence of normal skin color as blood is pulled away from the extremities. 5. Pupils dilate when something pleasurable or positive is seen, as well as in times of fear. 6. Pupils constrict when something negative is observed. 7. Blink rate increases during times of stress. 8. Dry mouth occurs as moisture is drawn from extremities and can be observed by a person licking his or her lips. 5. Proxemics. Proximate, adjective. 1. Next or nearest in space, order, time, etc. Proximity, noun. 1. The state or quality of being near. Making correct inferences about the imminent behavior of others has adaptive benefits, and misunderstanding what another individual intends to do can seriously impair survival. The way humans use space to communicate is called proxemics. Like other animals, humans move toward what they are attracted to and move away from what they fear. For the combat profiler, the two most significant factors with regard to proxemics are relationship and status. Relationship affects the distance at which two people will stand. For instance, friends stand closer to one another than they do with strangers. Status is significant in how people use space to communicate, as subordinates rarely initiate contact with someone of higher social rank. Understanding relationship and status in a given situation is critical to making good observations. Two friends who are maintaining a significant separation from one another can be an anomaly, just as a subordinate initiating contact with a person of higher status may be an anomaly. The use of proxemics in combat profiling rests on several key principles. 1. People are drawn toward things they like, that they are attracted to, that make them feel safe and comfortable. People avoid and move away from things they dislike, are afraid of, or make them feel unsafe and uncomfortable. 2. The closer people choose to be, generally the more comfortable these people are with one another. 3. People who know each other will stand near each other. In a crowd, people who know each other will be next to each other, and those people who know each other best will be the closest to each other. Proxemics makes it possible for Marines to identify potential